Greetings and salutations. Welcome to Tech Girl Talk, the podcast about being a girl in the wonderful world of tech. I am Marietta, your main host and podcast queen. On today's episode, we will be discussing the gender gap, and at the end, we'll have a conversation with our This Girl Techs of the Week, so stay tuned for that. Let's jump right in. So let's go around and introduce ourselves. My name is Marietta.
I'm Jalissa.
My name is Prithusha.
And I'm Isabel.
Nice. So that's everybody. Gender gap, let's tackle it. Do you think that there is a gender gap in tech? Sorry, that very obvious question.
Okay, define gender gap first. That,
A gender gap basically is that there is a gap between the amount of men in tech and amount of women in tech. So basically there is no equality within the space of tech between men and women. So there's a gap based on your gender.
I would define it even a little broader than just the quantity of men and women in tech.
Right, the quality of their work.
Not the quality of their work, but the amount of position available to them and the type of position available to them. Because often when people, when tech companies say, oh, we have 25% of women, 99% of them are in HR. How many do you actually have in engineering?
That's true.
So I think there's that gap as well of accessing tech and accessing tech jobs that are more historically men's jobs.
Yeah, that's a better definition of it.
Definitely. Also, I think pay is something that comes to mind when people think of the gender gap in the workplace. Women tend to not get paid as much, and that's partially because they don't tend to negotiate.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, part of the gap is like they don't get literally everything you just said. They don't get paid as much. Typically, because I don't feel like it's a malicious intent on the side of the employers to go, you're a guy, we're going to pay you more, you're a girl, we're not going to pay you as much, but just kind of like sociologically, women tend to not negotiate as much as men do, which I think is a problem of confidence. Like, you don't feel like you belong there, you don't feel like you have the power, like, you feel powerless in that situation, so you're like, well, thank you for even giving me the offer, thank you for giving me this chance, I feel so grateful, I'm not even going to, like, try to negotiate for better pay or anything.
I think the non-negotiating part is even deeper than just a problem of confidence. If you look at the way we treat little girls and little boys, boys are encouraged to speak their mind, be dynamic, do stuff. Girls are expected to sit quietly and read a book. And that does not give you the skill you need to defend yourself.
That's very true. We aren't raised to stand up for ourselves that much.
Well, have you, you guys have held positions, right, in a tech-related job? I have yet to do that. So what have your experiences been being in those positions?
I would say not that different, especially my first company. My team was, my manager was a woman, and I feel like there were, like, a good amount of women in that team, so it felt better about that. My second position, not so much, but it was a, I think, there was one other woman, and then there was me, the intern, which I think that space, because it was in the cloud space, which is another area that, because even within the area of tech, there are areas that are more occupied by women more than others, because like more like graphic design stuff, front-end stuff is like typically not always, this isn't, I mean, that's kind of a stereotype, but like, I feel like that's more, it's more women in there than like the back-end and like hardware and infrastructure and cloud stuff. So the team that I was working on was a cloud team. So like there were barely any women, like even on my floor, it was like not a lot. So that was that. It didn't present like a problem. It just, I just felt like because I was so different from them, it just, I had to kind of worry about how they perceived me in a way. I just had to be like cautious about my professionalism, things like that. And I mean, not just because of my gender, because of my age. It's just like when you're in a team of like older people and you're like 20-year-old college kid, you have to be more, I mean, of course, it's a workplace, you have to be professional, like put together and stuff. So just worrying about that, I think, was the only thing I had to worry about. But I don't think it made that like a huge amount of difference in that particular workspace.
My first experience was, it was a good mix of interns. So there were actually, there were two women and including me, and there were two men for the intern pool. So whenever we had like social events and stuff, like it was nice. There was a good balance, I guess. But the team that I was working with were all mostly men. I think there were two women on my team, and they were in QA. And the actual, like, the engineers who were writing the code were all men. So kind of like what Ismail was saying earlier, and also Marietta, like, about the different areas, like, within the company also that women are distributed, it's not as even. But they were a very welcoming community, and so, like, I felt welcome there. It was okay. My second experience was a little bit different. I was the only intern there, and it was a very small startup. But again, all the women that were there, it was actually a pretty good mix. Again, 50-50 with the employees. But again, women made up more of the testing side of it, and the engineers and devs were men. And I kind of see this in, like, school projects also, being a woman and kind of like coming up with, or like making decisions or speaking up, doesn't come as naturally to me already because I'm a little bit on the more introverted side. But especially if I'm in a group of men, I tend to, like, it's a little bit harder for me to make my points, because at school I see it more that men will try, they will, like, dominate, and they will kind of, like, come up with all of the decisions and take all that, and I feel like I need to work a little bit harder to make my voice heard. So that's kind of my experience. A little bit different for school, a little bit different in the workforce.
Right. So my experience is a bit particular. I'm in a team where we have actually a lot of women. Out of 9, we have 3 women, so it's a third. But again, the women are either in QA or in management. All the managers are women in the team. And the gap I feel in my team is not based on gender, it's based on age. Not because I'm young, but because half the team is actually younger than me and I'm the intern. Does make me feel weird at sometimes. And for the gender gap or the feeling of not being there, I just ignore it. So I come from a previous career where we are 99% of women. And that kind of work environment is toxic. It's awful. I'm happy to be out of it. So I actually enjoy that gap, not having to deal with womanly crisis all the time. And yeah, I just behave like a man, basically.
But do you feel like you have to behave like a man? Because I feel like I do. I mean, I feel like I have become more embrace the masculine side of myself, I guess, being in this industry, because I don't feel as comfortable. Like, I don't feel comfortable, like, wearing a dress to school. I'm not, like, comfortable, but just, like, when I'm around guys or, like, at work, it's just, I kind of hide my femininity, because it's, I fit in more when you're, like, oh, yeah, wearing baggy jeans. And I mean, my style is, like, jeans and a hoodie and stuff, but just, I feel like I have to present more of that in that space. It's like, oh yeah, video games and stuff. I mean, I can't just, like, walk up to work and, like, let's talk about Barbies. I mean, that's, I'm not into Barbies like that, but just, I don't know, I feel like people, women in tech tend to skew more masculine. Is that bad to say?
No, it's not. What does that mean? Because you use the term behave more like a man. What does that mean to you? Is it just clothing wise? Is it attitude wise? Is it behavioral? What do you
mean? It's a little bit of all, except for, like, it'd be beneficial if behavior-wise we're more confident, like, guys. But I mean, I just think, like, yeah, that's a good question. Maybe, like, dressing, maybe kind of, like, attitude, like, we kind of have some mold to fit in. Maybe, like, interests.
My experience with that is that when the conversation turns to more, like, a casual thing, like, oh, like, hobbies, or what are you doing in your free time, just kind of, like, general talking, I don't feel as comfortable bringing up something girly as I would with, like, I'll mention sports I play, which is astronomically low number. I'll bring it up anyway because it feels more relevant. Like,
that's very true. Yeah, because, like, one of that's, like, I'm not pressure, but it's pressure I put on myself. It's like, oh, I have to get more into video games because, like, everybody else in this, not everybody else, but it feels like everybody else in this industry is into video games. So it's like, I need something to talk about with people that I meet and coworkers and stuff. So it's like, developing, which is not a bad thing. People have to develop interest to get along with people everywhere, but it just kind of feels like that's, like, I just
thought about that. It's more man-tailored.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's definitely, but there I had, again, the opposite experience, probably because of the way I am. When I was working in that womanly career, I had to put forward the feminine side of me that honestly didn't exist. I had, like, friends coming and telling me, you know, you should wear like less geeks t-shirts and put on some makeup and be presentable. Those were good friends after years telling me what the other people were saying behind my back. So now, after spending years trying to be someone else, I'm like, I don't care. I'm just going to go to work, be myself. That happens to be maybe more man-oriented character. But I'm just not going to care about what they think. And if it doesn't work out, I'm going to work somewhere else.
That's a good attitude.
And even my girly hobbies was like, yeah, I'm scrapbooking every weekend. What do you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're comfortable enough.
Whatever. Yeah, part of your whatever. Life. If they don't like it, I've spent enough years in therapy for being someone else. If they don't want me, that's okay.
That's good. I think that's really good, though. I mean, because what I think is that you've reached that level of clarity and like knowing yourself where it's like, okay, I'm comfortable with who I am. So I'm comfortable sharing that to people. But I feel like a lot of us, I mean, okay, I'll just speak for myself. Like, especially in the beginning, I'm not to that level of being so comfortable with myself that I want to like put that out there for everybody at work. It's like, well, I don't know, I feel bad about this still. Like, I haven't like got to that point where it's like, this is me, take it or leave it. But like, that's like a good place to get to. Yeah.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that comes with time. At 20, I wasn't either.
Okay. Alyssa, do you feel like you've had differences in your organization?
Well, I haven't had an internship yet. I haven't been in a work environment.
But you did like that summer institute at Google.
I did. And that was a very good experience. It was a good mix as well. It was both an equal amount of men and women. I want to say about 15 and 15. Mm-hmm. And we were all also considered like minority. That was like the target group. So I got to meet a lot, like a very diverse group of people, but I think it's also because Google, that's what they were looking for. That's what they want to see. When it came to applying to universities in my school, I was in my AP computer science class. I'd say there were about 20 of us in that class and two or three of us were women. Wow. And the rest were men. Mm-hmm. And I see this across like a lot of things when it comes to tech. I see a lot more men than women in my introductory computer science class that I took last year. There were so few women, mm-hmm. very few women. I made more friends with guys than with girls because I didn't see a lot of them. And for me, I think I'm a little bit more like Isabel. I'm pretty confident in myself. I don't feel like I'm the most knowledgeable, but I ask a lot of questions and I'm assertive. And if I know something, I'll say something. But it's still, I've seen the girls that I've met a lot in my class tend to be to be more shy and to be more held back. And I don't associate my behavior the same. So it's harder to talk to them, but at the same time, I want to because I know that the best way to bridge the gap is to get other people to feel comfortable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I'm very curious to see how it'll be once I get an internship. But so far, that's been just my experience with like class-wise.
But yeah, that makes a lot of sense because like that's something good that you point out. Because I wonder if then the ones that survive far are the ones that kind of have that backbone, like you mentioned, the ones that's like, okay, I know my stuff. If I know it, I know it. You're not going to question it. Like, I'm going to like find out like everything I need to, and I'm not going to worry about like what people think in like a certain way. So I feel like then those are the ones that are more successful, I think. And then, but then it's like, how do we get the girls who feel less confident, who feel less like, well, I want to find out, but like the girls who are afraid to speak up, like how do we get them to like say,
Definitely making this more aware, making this gap, like, or bringing attention to this, bringing awareness to this issue, first of all, is something that can, you know, that can help if there are shy girls out there to, like, kind of take a second look at it and think twice about dropping something because they don't feel comfortable enough. Because it seems to be a very, you know, more on the common side of things to not feel comfortable if you are a minority, right?
Yeah.
And so, especially at this age, whenever we're getting into our careers, whenever we're getting into college, so building a support system would help also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, I think what would help, like what you said is going to help short term for women that are there already or about to be there. But if you really want to address the root problem, we have to look at the way we raise our kids and the way we treat little kids. Because a shy behavior, like I said earlier, is going to be encouraged. It's going to be something good for a girl. And boys, you're going to say them, oh, no, don't try. Man up, get up, do something. Like, why should the girl get up, man up, and do something? And I think that's the root problem is there. It's how we treat our children. Sometimes not consciously, but if we are aware of that gap, where it comes from, we can change it for the next generation. And it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take several generations if you want to actually bridge it. But that's where we need to start.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Because I was, when I was researching some of these topics, like somebody in an interview gave this quote, like, women, like girls are raised to be perfectionists and boys are raised to be brave. So guys have the courage, like if something isn't going their way, it's like, yeah, like man up, like tough it out, stick it out. But it's like girls, it's like, well, I'm not good at this, so I might as well put my energy towards something else, like give up and like try another route where they can be more perfect and like good and like the little shining bright star. But like, yeah, if it, we raise them to be more brave and go like, okay, you don't have to be perfect at this, but like if you like it, you might as well keep going, like keep trying. Like that would be a good like attitude change to help like get more.
There's also something else that I want to bring up, and it was something that one of the speakers, I don't remember which one, that we heard at Grace Hopper say, that there are, one of the problems that they've seen is that these women who are assertive and who are able to kind of like work their way up, if there is another woman on the team, there's a competitive spirit, and that is not good. That the, like you said, we have to build something supportive, right? But I feel like, and I've seen it as well, if there are, if you're in a group and the majority is men and you have two women, these two women feel like they have to compete with each other to kind of outdo each other and show the rest, like, I am the best one. Yes, I am the best one here. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I remember that talk that you were mentioning, and like there, a big part of that is like the pressure to be competitive was kind of an outside force, because it's like when another woman came into the team, somebody else on the team, like another guy, was like, oh, they're gonna fight or something, like not like fight, but just kind of like, oh, they're gonna compete now. It's like an outside pressure, like even if they, their minds didn't go there, like everybody's like, oh, they're two of them, they have to fight. But like, why is the idea that like women have to be competitive in an area like that?
I think it's because we are so few.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, there's that token woman, we got her.
Now I used to be the token one.
Oh no, there are no more token women, we have two. How are we gonna solve that? We'll get rid of one. So
get them to fight each other, one of them will get so sad they leave.
Yeah, like you said, it's an outside pressure because of how little people we are.
That's a very good point. Yeah, it's very sad, I feel that. Oh my gosh.
But how is it, how can we address that problem? Because if I feel like a lot of women don't want to do that, but it's that outside force forcing them subconsciously to be like, I have to keep doing more, I have to be the best.
It's not just subconscious. I mean, to show we belong there.
Yeah.
We have been taught to be better than men. Yes. And that's what we are all convinced to do. So women are not necessarily competing against other women. They're just competing in general to be on top. Because they have to show they're better to keep that job, to keep high up. Because at same qualification, often a man is preferred, not consciously. So you have to show you have better qualification. So you always ramp that up and ramp that up. And when you are two to ramp up, it's the competition.
That's so true. Because because to really to get to that level, like where you're in that team, you got to you have to be so much better than everybody else. You have to be competing at such a high level. And so it's just kind of natural. It's like, oh, there's somebody else. It's like, well, I'm used to being better than everybody else in the room. So that includes this woman that's here now.
Yes. And now I have to leave you to go compete to be the first one in my class. Because there's that other woman that's a real pain. So I have to be better than
everybody else. Thank you, Isabel.
Bye.
So we understand that there's a general, or like worldwide, like among companies and everything and countries, we know that there is a gap. Women are not treated as equal to men. There's, in a lot of ways, they're seen as inferior. But in the heart of Silicon Valley, there's, and many other places, there have been efforts to combat this, and there have been, like, they have programs for men and women of color and like any group of diversity. And
like,
so
there's Girls Who Code, Black Girls Code, yeah. Black Grace Hopper, all these organizations, yeah.
So these efforts are being consciously made and like promoted a lot, and it's really great. But I've seen this kind of culture, I don't know if you guys have seen this too, where people who are living in Silicon Valley have started to question why there are so many programs specifically tailored to women. Like, why are there all these opportunities? Why are there these programs? Why are there these special, like, I don't know.
Conferences.
Exactly.
And things. Yeah.
So it's almost seen as, why don't men get any of that? And in a way, I mean, it's great that there's so much of this going on, so much of this support for the underrepresented. But in a way, it's kind of not amazing because I was looking online and I saw that one of the companies I was interviewing for, they had a goal to get to 50-50 in the work in their workplace by the year 2022, which is great. And I was looking up more of that. And I saw on forums, people were like, wow, this is a ridiculous goal. They're just saying this to, like, they're basically just going to hire women blindly until they get to their number and that's all they care about. But that's like that's a really toxic mindset. Mm-hmm, yeah. And it started developing in this very specific area. And yeah, so have you guys seen that before?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I know someone, again, back to high school. We both applied here. We got similar scores. We had a similar background, like club-wise and sports-wise. And I got in and he didn't. And one of the things he said was, oh, you got in because you're a woman. And you hear that across.
So much.
You hear that across all boards. Yeah. And that made me really angry.
Yeah.
Because no, I'm hardworking. I deserve to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've seen that mindset, that mentality a lot. And to those people who think, who are asking why, it's because there is an equality. It's because there is something that isn't right right now and we're trying to fix it. Of course, these companies want to get to 50-50. That doesn't mean they're going to just accept anyone.
They're still qualified. Right. They're very qualified for that they're hiring.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very frustrating anytime I hear, like, oh, you got that diversity hire. Like, you're only here because you're... Like, it's like, no, we work hard. Like, we're smart. Like, we just haven't had the... We're getting a level playing field so we can actually get these chances. Yeah. Like, it doesn't diminish your likelihood of getting... It's just upsetting to me.
And it, like, in turn, is kind of feeding imposter syndrome in a way, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, girls are wondering, like, did I only get in because of the diversity? And it should not be working that way. So that's any thoughts on how to, like, get rid of this weird problem that arose out of a solution that was being built?
Get them to be stopping so insecure. I don't know. That was so rude to say. I didn't say that.
So how is there a solution for this problem that was born out of a solution, pretty ironically and sadly?
The fact that people say that they have that kind of mentality?
Exactly, yeah. Or how can we, like, bring awareness to this problem and how do we explain it? How do we, like, right this wrong kind of thinking?
It's really difficult to do that unless you experience it and you're on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was a lady who mentioned, I think we were having dinner or something when we went to Grace Hopper, and there was a lady, there were these two girls talking about how there were a few guys there. They were saying that isn't fair. This is a women's conference. This is about women empowerment. And another lady came in and said, that is true, but it's also good to have male employers at the conference so that they can see what it's like to be surrounded by the other group.
Yes.
To see what it's like to be the minority in the tech field. And I think that is a good way for people to see and to feel what we are feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because only when you experience it, you fully understand it.
That's very, very smart point. Yeah, that's really true. Because, like, the guys that I was saying that, they won't understand like what it feels like to be the only girl in a room until they go to a conference and the only guy. And then they start wondering, like, oh, did I only get this conference because I'm a guy? Like, yeah, but okay. But yeah, putting yourself in other people's shoes and trying to understand why they feel that way. That's a really good point. Yeah, so with that, Jalissa is going to leave us now.
Yes, I have to head out. I apologize.
That's okay. We got responsibilities. We're hardworking women.
Yes, we are.
Gotta make that bread. Oh, okay. So when I was reading this article, I wrote down like some paragraphs that I thought would be good. So this says, you have to ensure girls feel a part of a community and that they belong. You have to show them role models and heroes that look like them. And they need to demonstrate that they can use tech to solve the problems that they care about. So I feel like that's talking about like how when we're getting people into tech, like we talk about like, oh, like robots and stuff. I don't know. People probably don't talk about robots, but I just feel like maybe that's saying that typically the efforts that we use to get people into tech are things that boys care more about. Mm-hmm. So if we show like girls, like you can use tech as a vehicle to solve problems that you actually care about, not just like this abstract thing, because mm-hmm. that's something that, because I feel like guys are more likely to get into engineering for engineering's sake, like, well, let's tinker and figure things out because that's how they were kind of raised. Yeah, exactly. But it's like girls, it's like, well, why? But it's like if you show them like, yeah, go into tech because you can use it to solve so many of the problems in your life mm-hmm. and in the world, is a better like vehicle to show that. Yeah, because I remember at Grace Hopper, one of the she won an award. She was at the closing keynote, mm-hmm. and what she did is this group called STEM and Dance or something like that. So basically she gets these, I think there are a lot of girls, I don't know if they're all girls, but like basically kids from low-income backgrounds, mm-hmm. and like they're part of a dance team, but they also do tech and like robotics and stuff, to like they make lights, like lights on their costumes, like oh. and like little microsensors, and like they write the code for that. So it's a really cool way, like they look so cool when they do it, and like the kids are like, they get excited about that, they're passionate about that because they love to dance, and now they can use tech to like make their dances cooler. And it's just like, that's something they actually care about. So now they're more likely to stick with it because they've seen like, I can use this to solve problems or use this to improve my life in some way, rather than just like tech for tech's sake.
Yeah, definitely. This brings to mind like trips that we would make to the museum in elementary school, like the like once a year field trip. And like every now and then we'd go to a tech museum. And yeah, like that should be something that should be done more. Because there's so many museums are made like to be explored, and they're very child friendly and everything. And so, if there was more of that, probably.
Yeah, because it's especially interesting when you go to the tech museum and realize like computers were built by women, like Ada Lovelace, Grace Hopper, like women are the pioneers of the computing world. And like, where did we go? Why are we not still there? So it's just, I feel like it'd be really inspiring to girls to like go to the museum and say like, wow, we started this. Like, let's finish it. You know.
I like that perspective.
Oh, I remember I had a question. Do you feel like anything's changing? Do you feel like the percentage of girls in tech has gone up, like, let's say, in the last 10 years? I mean, not that you wouldn't have a lot of memory of that, but, I mean, what is your perception of that? Do you feel like things are getting better? Because I think the last time I looked at that, when they had the chart up there, it was like 15 one year and then 14 the next year. So it's either, like, stagnant or falling.
But why? I feel like I've heard that, like in the back of my, I feel like I've heard that too, that it's been getting worse. But why?
I don't know.
If anything, it should be, like, I feel like these programs have been around
long enough to have made a difference, but. Because I feel like what everybody is doing is we're trying to get girls into it. Like, oh yeah, you can do it. Like, we do one introductory class here and there. Mm-hmm. Like, we show them that they can do it, but we don't show them that they can stick with it and keep going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So I think that's the great part. Like, probably a lot of girls have like run one line of code, you know, but they're not like majoring in it because like they just haven't seen. We haven't done a good enough job convincing them, like you can get through this like all the way.
Yeah. And I feel like this also is like the reason behind, like what Isabel was saying, you know, start out of the root problem. That's definitely a solution, but that is also going to take time. And what are we going to do about the women right now who are already in, and how do we keep them there, right? And yeah, it's figuring out that correct support system that we can provide for everyone. And it's hard to do like globally, because every girl's situation is different, yeah. You know, everywhere they live and go and go to school. So I just think awareness is the biggest step, because some of these problems, I feel like if I had, you know, learned about them earlier, mm-hmm. even attitude or like the existence of imposter syndrome and like what makes it worse, and specifically to the area that I'm living in, that diversity hire, mm-hmm. like that, that stuck with me for a really long time. And like, it was a really like gross thing to have to endure. And so knowing that it's a real problem that shouldn't be happening is a really like important shift in my thinking that I'm glad I understood. Just if I had learned it sooner, it would have like not, I would have felt better.
Yeah, you would have so much heartache in between, like learn how to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So my main thing is awareness, which I'm hoping this podcast is doing. Woo!
Yeah, and like just kind of, yeah, it's because it helps a lot to see that you're not the only one that goes through it, because you might be thinking like, oh, I'm the only one, just like you felt like you're an introvert, but you feel like because of that, you're the only one that has trouble speaking up in a group of guys. But it's like, no, a lot of us women have trouble speaking up in a group of guys. So exactly. It's like, yeah, yeah, things like that. And another thing that's like particularly like, I think, discouraging for girls in tech is at some point you're going to want to, I mean, not depending on who you are, so people might want to settle down and like have kids and stuff, but it's just not a level playing field, because like, it's so scary. Like, how do you get back into your career after you take some time off to have like kids? Mm-hmm. Like, because it's a lot of companies will question like, why do you have a gap? And like, mm-hmm. it just seems like, oh, I had a baby, it doesn't seem like such an acceptable answer. Mm-hmm. Like, your career would be held back so much because you are a woman. It just feels like so discouraging. Like, it might feel like, I mean, rationally, this is just my first thought, I might be wrong, but I mean, it would make sense that I would go into a career that is more accepting, that is more like, I feel like if you're a teacher, it's more, you're more able to be like, yeah, let me take a gap so I can have kids. I don't know, maybe that's false, but like, I feel like there's certainly more careers that are more open to you, like having a life and having like families and stuff. But like in tech, it's like, I don't, like, it would be a huge disadvantage to take a few years off to go have a family, because you come back, it's like, well, oh, you know, all the tech, like everything, it changes so rapidly. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to keep up already. And if you take any time off, it's like, well, you're irrelevant now. And it's so hard to bring back into the industry.
Dang, that's a really real and scary problem. Yeah,
I don't know what to do about that. It's so scary. But some companies are trying to do more getting back into your career stuff, like, because for women that have taken a break to have families or just, you know, do other things. Oh, so that's kind of good, because there were a number of sessions at Grace Hopper about, mm-hmm. like, you know, like getting back into your career. So I think that's exactly for like people like that who've just taken a break for whatever reason. And it's like getting them, like, that's another field of the whole like diversity and inclusion effort. It's like not just like women and people of color, like from the university stage, but also getting people that have breaks in their career. Like, that's another diverse perspective that isn't being represented currently.
Age.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oof. It's a problem.
So much to think about.
Yeah.
As long as we're thinking about it, it's a good thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. So if you guys, you person out there listening, you all non-gender specified person, I'm so sorry. Oh God. if you out there have any ideas, solutions, if you were mastermind and thought of how to fix the entire gender gap in tech, please, you know, like, get in contact with us. Let's do something. Let's think of solutions, or just, yes. Yeah, let's just talk, because it really helps to talk it out and know that you're not alone.
Absolutely.
It's, yeah. Any final thoughts?
1970, women accounted for 13.6% of bachelor's in computer science graduates. 1984, the number rose to 37%, but it has since declined to 18%. Around the same time, personal computers started showing up in homes. What is the takeaway here? Why is this?
So it's like, we have more access to computers, but we're doing less computing as women.
Yeah.
That's so wild. I wonder why it jumped so high. And
yeah. I don't know why it rose, but it looks like since personal computers were marketed exclusively to men and families that were more likely to buy computers for boys than girls.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. That should not have happened.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's like a boy's toy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like every
person that you hear Game that, Boy. Like, yeah. Oh my god! Oh my god, Nintendo!
Nintendo, why? No.
I had a Game Boy, I didn't question this. Okay. Anyway.
You're so right, though. Duh! It's like, everybody I feel like that I've heard of is like, oh yeah, I was programming like Emacs or whatever in the 70s. Yeah. Like, they're all dudes. Yeah, because it was literally marketed to its guys. Uh-huh. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Ugh. Because it's similar to like the whole like, they buy Legos for boys and Barbies mm-hmm. for girls. It's like, yeah, that's why guys are more engineers. Cause, like, they're literally building and destroying stuff. Things from mm-hmm. when they're kids. Mm-hmm. And just like, yeah, guys are giving the computers as kids and girls are like.
Have you seen those like Vex kits or like the robotics kits or like the Lego kits that like they come with electronic bits now and you can like set up a like a remote control car and stuff. You can build it and then you can like program it and stuff. Like that's part of Lego now.
Whoa.
And now also like I have a little cousin and she plays with these like, oh, I forgot what they're called, but they're like super, like they have a lot of Legos now. So this is one side of it that I've seen, yeah. But like literally engineering side, programming side, they write code for that.
Oh my god.
And then I've seen like, it's like this paradise world with like fountains and horses and like pink Legos and like bunnies. It's so specific and it's so girly and it's so like, it's great. I would have loved that. But like, there's such a like gap here. There used to be blue, green, yellow, red bricks. And now there's like, yeah, there's boy Legos and girl Legos. And it's really bad and shouldn't be.
That's or, so true.
I mean, it's nice that they're there, but they should not be marketed as.
Yeah. Yeah, it shouldn't be boy girls and boy boy toys and girl toys. It's like, let them play with whatever toy they feel like playing with. It's like, because it's, you don't know if that girl would be a master engineer because you never gave her the chance. You're like, here's a Barbie because you look like this. Let's give you a Barbie and you're going to have fun with that. You don't know if she'd be a master engineer. Like, you could be, you know, stunting like the next Bill Gates because you refuse to give her a freaking Lego set.
Yes.
I'm upset. Okay.
If you're out there and you are a new parent,
buy your kids some Vex things, please. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I shouldn't be screaming. This just gets me riled up. Yeah. It's up to all of us. Everybody, just be like, yeah, explore your interests. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not the best at it, if you enjoy it, keep going like as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's something like I even talked to my roommate at Grace Hopper about. It's the interview coming up, mm-hmm. and she talked about like how she's not the best at math, so but like everyone that you talk about, because I mean maybe that's just me, but like a lot of people that are girls in tech is like, oh yeah, I liked math and then I went into it. I mean, that's at least my story. Mm-hmm. But she was like, she felt kind of left out because that wasn't her experience, like mm-hmm. it was just, she's like happened to get into it, but like she's not the best at math, so it's very easy to feel like I don't belong here. She's literally had professors tell her like, are you sure this is the path for you? Like, should you be in this class? But it's like awful. It's like, if she likes it, let her do it. Like, why? You don't need to be a math whiz or whatever to, like, guys are allowed to be mediocre. I mean, not that she's mediocre, but like, guys are allowed to be like average, and girls are like, we have to be perfect or don't.
Tangent on that, I've heard this stat, I guess, that like men will apply to the job if they fit 60% of the requirements. Women won't even think about filling the app unless they're like 80 or 90%.
Exactly.
And that's another like ingrained mindset, I guess. Yes. Apply to that job no matter what.
If you're like, you know, I got half of that, like apply. I mean, yeah, they can say no, like that's their decision, but like you're counting yourself out before they even have the chance to like grade you or not. Like, don't count yourself out. It's like, if you feel, just go for things.
Yourself out there. Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah. We're not used to that. That way. Okay, that was a good conversation.
Yeah,
I'm not that angry anymore, so that's good.
I'm glad. Yeah, it feels good to talk about it for sure. Like, I literally feel like lighter.
That's kind. Hopefully, it feels good to hear it too.
Yes.
But yeah, thank you for your time, Patricia.
Yes, of course. Thank you for seeing this, Marietta.
Oh, of course. That was what we had to say about the gender gap, at least for now. And it was honestly very therapeutic to talk about it because a lot of times you forget that you're not the only one going through something. So it was good to talk it out. And if you're going through similar issues, I highly, highly recommend that you talk it through with somebody that's in the same shoes, because it helps a lot. And with that being said, we're going to take a break now to hear a word from our sponsors. As you've hopefully heard me mention before, we spotlight a different girl in tech every week to just raise awareness and provide visibility that we're here and that we're doing awesome things. So that is part of our This Girl Tech series. So every Tuesday we post a picture, a quote, and a bio of a girl. That's a little teaser trailer for that person. And we feature the full conversation as part of the weekly episode, which is this segment right now. And this week, our This Girl Tech is Donnie Lee Fain. She was my roommate at the Grace Hopper convention earlier this month. And I had a really nice and eye-opening conversation with her about her journey through tech. And so here's that interview with her.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name is Johnny Lee Fain, and I'm a junior computer science major at Villanova University.
So we're at Grace Hopper currently. What brings you here to this celebration?
Absolutely. I was lucky enough to win an Anita B. student scholarship that brought me here. So thanks to that. And I applied for it during my spring break last year with the intention of trying to get my school scholarship. They had us apply to the Anita B one, mm-hmm. as a stepping stone to apply to our school scholarship on the off chance that anyone would actually win the Anita B one.
Right.
And I was lucky enough to do that. So another Villanova student could take my Villanova scholarship.
Very nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
So I want to learn a little bit more about your background. Mm-hmm. So how did you get into tech?
I'm from the Bay Area, so I was lucky enough to be around very influential tech area, I guess, mm-hmm. during high school. I came from like a point of view of really wanting to be an attorney for like my entire life. Wow. And just like thought that was what I was meant to do in life. And then in high school, I joined this organization on my public high school's campus, and it was called the Academy of Physics and Technology, and it's like a 2-year program for students to like have different hands-on projects to introduce them to different technological engineering arenas. Mm-hmm. And it really just introduced me to technology when one of my final projects was to build an autonomous robot that like went through a maze. And I was very fortunate to have teachers at the time that were very passionate in driving me to recognize like the lack of women, not only in like my little technology community in high school, but then worldwide. So I was very fortunate to have like a strong foundation as far as like role models, like right. especially male role models, that kind of directed my collegiate academic career.
Very nice. And how has your experience been so far?
It's been good. I think there's been ups and downs. Right. I think like any woman in tech can speak to those ups and downs. And like I said, I was very like extremely fortunate to have such a strong start to my experience in technology that like ignited this kind of passion. And then at my university, I think, it's weird to consider myself a woman in tech because it's like so new and it's like, I'm only a third year university student. So like, is that actually real? But, at my university, it's when I first started to like really, butt heads with the challenges and tribulations of being a woman in tech, mm. with different professors that I've had and their attitudes towards, what constitute as someone who can be successful in technology and what that looks like.
Right.
But I've also had professors that have reminded me why I'm here. So there, I think, there's always like the bad always has another flip side of the good.
Right. If you can, do you have any examples of either way, professors that have been very helpful and supportive or professors who have been sort of, like you said, not realizing there's another way to be successful in tech?
Yeah, I think, I'm a woman in technology that really struggles with an aptitude for technology. Like I think a lot of people talk about coming or finding themselves at a place of being in tech with a strong math background.
Mm-hmm.
And I have like quite the opposite of a strong math background. So I did not stumble upon this arena based on performing very highly or or understanding math very well. So I have found myself, and little did I realize when I was entering a computer science career, how much math I would continue to study,
right.
But like, and how that's been such a challenge, and test scores and grades will reflect that challenge for me. And so in just those situations, I've had professors like very seriously, like challenge my decision to stay in the major.
Wow.
Because of, like, quite frankly, poor performances on like different benchmark assessments.
Right.
But it's really pushed me to like be very reflective of like, is this something that I want to do despite, you know, not like on paper looking like I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the professors that have reminded me of that are ones that encourage me to think about how technology shapes everything we do in mm-hmm. ways that are beyond, it sounds silly to, I guess, to say ones and zeros, but I am excited about it because I think I can find different niches for where I'm good at it.
I like that idea. Yeah. It's not just the ones and like, there's more ways you can use this to benefit the world. So that's a good,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So you said that despite on paper, you're not looking like you belong here. Do you feel like, what has driven you to feel like, you know, this is for you, like when you've reflected on if this is the right path?
I think it's like a constant reflection. So like some days I really feel like I belong, especially at a Grace Hopper convention where mm-hmm. you're surrounded by other people that make you feel like you belong. Other days I don't. But I think whenever I am stuck in wondering, I like recall different role models that have really influenced my life. And I've been very fortunate to have like different women alumni from my university and like generally women who are older than me, not by much, but enough removed that have been in the same classrooms that I've been in and have experienced the same professors I've experienced that have been able to give me insight as to how big and how small these little comments or problems that come up are. And I think that's what continues to push me, is like the people that I see and where they're going and how that inspires me.
That's really awesome. So can you talk more about like the importance of, you just kind of mentioned it, but like role models and like how you found them and like how they've supported you so far?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because there's so much, or at least for a long time, I would always hear about how influential role models are and how much more influential role models are that look like you and how important that is. And I like never really stuck with me, I guess, until recently, because I feel like you just don't understand like the attachment you have towards someone who looks like you, has been in your shoes and has experienced what your experience is until it happens to you. But I think like those role models have been like women, like I'm getting away from your question,
it's
I guess,
okay,
but
fine.
Like, I think I have found these women based on, fortunately or unfortunately, just like really having to put myself out there and like almost like search for people who have, been in the computer science department at my school or like be on the lookout of like different people who I can talk to about what I'm going through. And like, hopefully the goal is that search doesn't have to be so hard, but, I've really just like found the people that I connect to based on sharing my own, like being open about sharing my own experiences. And then when you're open, more people are open and then you can connect and grow.
That's really good. Yeah, that's a very good point. I like that a lot. If you think so, why do you think more girls should go into tech?
Yes, I do think more girls should go into tech. And I think more girls should go into tech because I think it opens a lot of limitless doors as far as how you can, something that inspires me is how you can take interests that might not quote unquote be techie and combine them with like a skill set. Like, I see computer science as not an individual passion, but as a tool in my tool belt of how it will like propel me to accomplish other things that I'm excited about outside of technology. So I think that if women and girls can look at technology as less of like a very like secular, single-minded kind of job, and see it as a tool to help like boost any kind of interest and any kind of passion, and only enhance it. I think accomplishing goals is like exponential.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because like during the keynote that we just watched at Grace Hopper, one of the, I think, award winners, she formed a group that was like Dance for STEM. So that's exactly the same point that you're talking about. Like STEM doesn't have to be just one goal. Like tech can be a tool to accomplish your other goals in life. Like if mm-hmm. you're passionate about dancing, you can bring tech into that. And like,
yeah.
So that's a really good point. I like that a lot. What advice do you have for girls who are looking to get into tech?
Great question. The advice, when I think about like what I would have liked to have heard as high school or like a first year university student or even before that, is that like you don't have to fit certain boxes in order to be successful in technology, and that can be and you don't have to necessarily have like this extreme aptitude and calling and ease of problem solving as I think is advertised to someone who codes and someone who is a technologist, that they're really good at problem solving. And I feel like that, like, and I think its intention is to be well-versed and mm-hmm. well said, but I think it also like funnels down this like perception that you have to like be really good at puzzles and really good at like math and really good at all these other things in order to succeed. So I would encourage young women to look at technology as a tool and like a resource and as enhancement, regardless of someone's aptitude for it.
Yeah.
So it can be challenging, and it's been very challenging for me, but it can also be very rewarding, that challenge.
Yeah, that's very true. And yes, because the kind of dominant narrative is like, oh, I like math, so that's why I do coding. And like mm-hmm. that kind of idea of just like the genius problem solver, that kind of thing like that he touched on. So it's good to see that like, you don't have to fit that mold to go into tech. If you're anything that you're interested in, like, it can work for you. So just go into it and you will be surprised. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
Thanks.
How do you personally support girls who are in or want to get into tech?
Okay. So yeah, I always think about this from like the perspective of how like I need to be supported, and that, like, I'm someone who really thrives off support of like conversation and just like being able to sit down with somebody and just talk about what I've experienced, how it's made me feel, and how I can grow from an experience or learn from it. So at my own school and with girls who are maybe in lower grades than I am, or who are just like thinking about technology, I would hope that I have put myself in a place where someone or anybody is comfortable with sharing experiences with me, because I have felt most supported by others when I've been able to express what I've gone through and then either be validated in those emotions or hear another point of view, or really just a conversation, I think, goes a lot farther than it can be perceived as far as like supporting women in tech. So and it helps build that little community mm-hmm. within other communities. So I would hope I try to support others by being open to those conversations.
Yeah, that's very good. Who has been the most influential person in your journey so far? It's kind of a loaded question.
It's a good question. It's hard. I think I like a bunch of different people come to my mind. I think like when I think about technology and who supported me, I have to think back on like those first two teachers in high school who like really ignited this kind of do I have a place in the world of engineering and computer science in high school? I'm very fortunate for those strong male role models so early on in an industry that lacks so many of them. And differently, I also think my mom is someone who is the farthest person that you might consider from technology, but has been very supportive in and reminding me that like there is no like one singular way to do anything. So like when I doubt myself based on my technological aptitude for understanding for all the complexities of technology and how it like very quickly consumes my brain and gets above me, she's like able to bring me back down to earth and like recognize that there is a place for everyone if you keep fighting the fight.
Yes, I like that. Keep fighting the fight. That's you. Mom sounds like a very wise woman.
She is.
If it has happened already, when did you start feeling like you knew what you were doing? And if it hasn't yet, when do you think you will start feeling like you know what you're doing?
Okay, maybe a little both. I definitely, like, don't feel like I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm, but I've become more comfortable with not knowing what I'm doing. And I think it is experiences that I'm fortunate enough to have, like this one at Grace Hopper, that remind me of that it's okay to not know, and that you have so many different people here at all various stages in their careers, like someone like me who is an undergraduate, or women who are mid-career and from different disciplines that are also starting to explore a different professional move in technology. And so yeah, I guess the quick answer is I don't know where I'm going, but I think I will know, or will continue to be comfortable with that unknown future. Just like the more conversations I have, and the more like more times you can connect with communities like this one.
Right, that's very true. And since you kind of mentioned it, what are your current educational and career goals, if you have any?
Yeah, another good question that is very unknown for the most part. But I think if I've learned anything with like pursuing a computer science degree, is that you never stop learning and like you never stop trying to stay up to date with what's going on. So I guess an educational goal would be to like to always continue to have that mindset. And I don't really know specifics about where I see myself in the coming years, or like what I see myself studying, but I am confident in that. Like, I think I've never wanted to feel ignorant of technology. So like that is something that pursues my want to continue to study it. And I just think it's in the future. It's a thinker.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'll be, but I think that I want to be at the table with the voice of decision making.
Yes, I like that. You want to be in the room where it happens.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
What is your wildest dream? You don't have to answer that if you don't have an answer.
I don't know. But I don't know. I think that like something that fascinates me about technology and like the direction it's going is that, you know, I think it's clear to everyone that it will only continue to play an incremental role in all of our lives. And I am fascinated by the idea of those who understand it will control it and be powerful because of that. And it's also kind of frightening to think about how that might shape our democracy based on what people are knowledgeable of and what they're not. So when I think really long term, I think about how I'd want to understand technology and the ethics of it, so that there's never a point in which there's a monopolization of democracy based on the so few who understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that makes any sense,
yeah,
but
it makes sense in my head. Yes, it does. And the final question, which I like to ask all our guests, is what is the girliest thing that you've done recently?
I got my nails done prior to GHC, so it's my guilty pleasure for sure.
Very nice.
Getting manicure.
It does feel good to get pampered like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for speaking with me. And I hope you enjoy GHC and have a good rest of your semester.
Thank you.
So again, that was Johnny Lee Fang. I highly appreciate her being on this podcast. And if you or any other girl in tech that you know wants to be featured as a This Girl Techs, please feel free to contact us through any of our social medias or our email. To get all of our links, you can Google linktree.com/techgirltalk, which you can also access at linktr.ee/techgirltalk. If you want it the old-fashioned way, here goes. We are at techgirltalk.sg on Instagram. On Twitter, we are at techgirltalk_sj, and our Facebook is techgirltalk.sj. And if you want to email us about anything, resources, or go to Spotlight, our email address is stemnow.sjsu@gmail.com. Please subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening so you can keep up to date on episodes, and tell your friends about us. We're currently available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, as well as some other platforms. And the easiest link to share and the place where you can find all of our other information is at anchor.fm/techgirltalk. Next week, we'll be talking about intersectionality as a woman in tech, exploring how the various parts of our identity, along with being a woman, changes how we're perceived in academia and in the workplace. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a really exciting episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I appreciate you, and I hope you have a splendid day. Goodbye.